So today is October 3rd, 2021. This is Elizabeth Sheffield interviewing Elizabeth Wallace for the oral history class of fall 2021. Well, as I said, your name is Elizabeth Wallace. You go by Liz most of the time. And you want to tell me a little bit about yourself and who you are and what you do.
Sure. I am 53 years old. I went back to college later in life. Well, I continued college later in life. I currently work in higher education in diversity, equity, and inclusion. I have worked for a couple of other universities before, but spent a lot of my career as a stay-at-home mom to two special needs children. Does that kind of cover the background, or do you need a little bit more?
Nope, I think that is good. So, kind of taking me back to your undergraduate, what did you start as an area of study, and what were your plans when you returned to college?
Sure. My original time, I completed about, so when I was 17, when I graduated from high school, I did start college then, and I completed about a year of a radio broadcasting program. And then worked. So I left college, but then went back to college once I started work after things got settled down at university level. And my goal was to study psychology. I did leave that when I got married and then was away from college from 1991 until I returned in 2014. So when I came back, it was realizing that I wanted to create something better for my family. I wanted to give my children an example because they weren't sure about college. And I very much wanted them to go to college. But I didn't feel like I had much to argue with if I hadn't gotten my college degree. So, I had hoped to finish my psychology or sociology degree when I came back to college. Does that answer that?
Yeah. So did you go on to complete that psychology degree?
Yes. So I started at community college because it was lower stakes. It felt like lower stakes for me. And also they had online programming, which was really, really important for my circumstances because I live rural and my kids were still needed some care. So yes, I started my associates and I completed associate's degrees in psychology, sociology, and then philosophy, because I actually enjoyed, I did not think I was going to complete college. I thought it was going to be too hard. The last time that I had done a term paper before I came back to college, I wrote it on a typewriter, right? And all my notes were by hand, and I didn't understand computers or how to submit things. And so it was a big challenge, but once I got into my undergrad, I really loved it. Finished my associate's degree and then transferred to the University of Central Oklahoma to complete my undergrad degree in the humanities, which I loved. Well, I'd actually, when I transferred to complete my undergrad, I transferred as a sociology human services major, but it was going to take a long time to complete. And I was having to drive a little bit extra to be able to go up in person for classes. I was not able to complete any of my degree programs that I would be interested in online. So I was going to have to come up in person, and it would take me too long to complete the sociology degree. So I looked for something I still really enjoyed, but that would get me to the finish line a little bit faster. And so the humanities degree would get me there, and it ended up being a really great program. I found community, I found support from the professors, and I really just enjoyed that. So the things that kind of impacted that was time and money. I was okay financially because I was able to go on my, at then husband's VA benefits. So that helped pay for those things, but that money was running out, and that's part of the reason why I chose to do a quicker program, but it really allowed me the opportunity to, you know, help me to grow myself as a human being, being away from things for so long. So I do have, so I'm looking at these, about decisions on where and how to attend, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when I started back, the community college I went to was the closest. It was 45 minutes away. And like I said, that was online. And then, so I actually live about 35 minutes away from a major university. And I had thought about applying there, but I was really encouraged at the community college to go to a different institution that would be more supportive, smaller class size, more opportunities to get involved, and better, you know, student to teacher ratio. And I'm very satisfied with that. I think that I don't believe I would have gone on to grad school had I not gone to complete my undergraduate where I did, because I was sometimes only one of eight in my classes. And I had the encouragement. So as an older student, it was daunting to walk into these classrooms with these younger students who are so smart and so bright. And some of them had been there for all 4 years. And so they developed those relationships with the professors and with one another. And I felt like such a stranger coming in. And I felt like I didn't belong. I felt like I wanted to go home in the early days. It was almost too much to feel like I was old and past it. But I had so many classmates who reached out to me and just welcomed me. And I think that was because of the small class size. I don't think I would have had that at all at OU, but I definitely had that at my smaller, at UCO, because everything, you know, everything was smaller. The class sizes, the professors were used to that. And I think they relished that. And so being able to be in class with people who encouraged me and I could encourage, and we would study together. We would, you know, send papers to each other to say, hey, can you give me another pair of eyes? I was able to develop all those really cool relationships that I don't think as a 45-year-old student I would have been able to at the university closer to me. So it was, even though that was a lot for me to drive, that hour every day I had classes, I think it was worth it. And I think that I would never have thought that I was smart enough to go to grad school if I hadn't been with these really brilliant students who showed me that I could be kind of smart too. So even though that was a little bit of a lot of extra work to get there, it totally defined how I saw school. It was a place where I could enjoy being smart, learning more, and growing. So, and the nice thing is because I went from community college, which was really open door, right? So even though I hadn't been to school in like 20 some years, I applied and was accepted quite easily. And so then having that and being a 4.0 student at the community college, getting into to complete my bachelor's degree, it was relatively easy. So I think that kind of covers those pieces, maybe.
Yeah, that's all excellent. And I can really hear how having that support really helped you get to where you want to go.
Yeah.
So when did the idea of graduate school start entering your mind, and how did you come to a place where you wanted to apply?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I know you've heard this before, but, you know, when I started at community college, I didn't even know I would be able to finish one class. I had a lot of issues, right? So I came from an abusive marriage. I had two kids. You know, my daughter has autism. My son has neurological issues. And I didn't really even think I would be able to finish one class. So completing that degree, and then the cohort, even though the classes in my my four-year institution were not intentionally cohorted classes, the nature of the program and the number of students, you know, we didn't have a lot of people who signed up for the humanities program. So it ended up by nature kind of organically being a cohort program. And I think hearing my classmates talk about grad school and dreaming big, right? You know, they were thinking big schools far out of the state. And that got me to think about things. And I was watching them apply, get accepted, get graduate assistancies, and do really cool things, you know. So they were going, you know, to Michigan or New York or Indiana or DC. And I thought, oh, should I apply for grad school? What do I want to do when I'm done with this? And what can I do with my degree? You know, even though my professors would say, you know, humanities degrees, you can still do a lot with them. You can go out and you can get a job. It's how you market that. And I thought I could go out and get a job. But at the same time, I did get involved in student organizations at my four-year institution. So I became involved in the American Association of University Women and started to meet people through that. I got involved in our peer health leadership program, which, you know, shared information about mental health and interpersonal violence with other class, you know, other classes. And the people that I was working with through these, the advisors had master's degrees in education or in public health. And that intrigued me because I really enjoyed what I was doing. I enjoyed being in the university setting, and I found that I was really thriving and growing. But I also knew that my path would not be the same as my classmates. So I couldn't pack up everything and go three states away. That wasn't the stage in life that I was at. But I really loved, you know, it felt like school was my happy place. And I loved having those relationships with faculty and with staff, and the encouragement that I received from my classmates and that I was also able to give to them. And so through my cohort system in my program, along with the pieces in you know, extracurricular or, you know, co-curricular activities, helped me to really feel like I wanted to stay at college a little bit longer and try and figure out what that would mean to me, because I didn't think I was ready to go out into the working world yet. And so I talked to my advisor in AAUW, and she was in her master's program. I was in the off-campus ambassadors, and my advisor there was an adult education major. And it seemed like adult education might be a good option for me. So I started to think about that. I didn't know what that meant. Where would I go? Did it mean that I would teach? I thought about that. I had influences who said that I would be good in the classroom. That didn't feel like it was a good fit for me. But so the people that really, really influenced me were, you know, my classmates inspired me, but my advisors helped ground me and helped me to figure out where might be a good fit. And so the college that I was at does not have doctoral programs, but they had master's programs. And I thought, I could do that maybe. And so I started to think about that. And I think I was influenced to really go towards grad school in two directions, for two reasons. One, I had a really bad class and I felt really, really not very, very bright, and I had been doing so well. And I applied kind of as a knee-jerk reaction to feeling like I wasn't smart in that class. I thought, okay, am I dumb? Am I this dumb? Am I this incapable? Even though I'd done well in all my other classes. And so I kind of applied as a response to that. It's like, okay, if I am dumb, then I won't get into grad school. That will be my kind of litmus test of, can I do this thing? And then the other piece was, I was emerging from the abusive marriage. And this was something I was really good at. I didn't feel like I was good at a lot of other things, but I was good at school. And so it really helped my confidence, and it helped validate kind of my space here on earth. So So that kind of informed that. I knew I didn't want to leave school. I you know, was having a crisis over whether I was intelligent enough to go to grad school. And then I wanted to do something bigger and better than what I'd ever done before. And so that, all of that, and seeing, you know, what one thing that was really cool is to see when you're working with advisors, you know, faculty can be kind of intimidating. So you're in the classroom with them and they're super smart people, right? And they're just so bright and they're still, you know, in the faculty in my program, particularly, we're still really into their studies. So they were still publishing, they were presenting. And so they were really genius people. But then on the other hand, so I had that and I was holding my own there, but the people who were advising me in my, you know, extracurricular activities, they were very humble people. And I don't mean that they weren't bright or genius. They were grounded in adult learning theory and they were grounded in how to help students who come from less than ideal backgrounds thrive. And so they were putting the real pieces together for me. So I could see that I was smart, but I was able to see where they came together so beautifully in that helping students get ahead through their classes and grow, but also helping them to develop these other pieces. And that was like, that was magic to me. That was sorcery, right? So they would be the ones when I'd have my breakdowns over, I don't know that I can do this. My professors were helpful. Some of my professors were incredibly helpful. But the people who really helped me pick myself up, dust myself off, and keep going were my advisors in the activities where I would say, oh my God, I'm failing. And they would show me how far I'd come. And so having that piece where I had other people believe in me and show me how practically, that helped me to even... It was a dream on the academic side, but it became a reality on my extracurricular side where it was like, yeah, and this is how you apply and this is who you talk to. And this is what you can expect. So.
So it sounds like it sounds like you were really guided through the kind of application process and where you needed to make decisions about where to attend and why.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk about that a little bit? What was the process like and how did you come to your final decision on it?
Yeah, I did look at a couple of different institutions, but I really wanted to stay where I was at, right? And so I did have a lot of support and mainly because, four people around me had all done this program that I was thinking about applying for. So whereas when I talked about it with the faculty, it was up in the air. It was very, well, just apply, do these things. And so on the other side, the people that had been through the program were giving me really good information about this is how this professor is. This is exactly how you fill out the form, right? And if you have any questions, let me know. And they'll have a writing test, but don't stress about it. Or just, you know, just be prepared. You'll have to go to the testing center and do some writing and it's going to be okay. It was almost so easy the way that they had made it. So they'd removed all of those kind of fears and barriers. They showed me where to look up, who to contact for the program. So how to go to the graduate college on campus, where should I go? How to, you know, what to bring with me. So they did prepare me for those kind of pieces. I didn't have to go into that cold at all. It would be, oh, this is even, you know, even so much so as, oh, because you'll be in this program, this is the person who will be your advisor. And they didn't mystify it and took a lot of the fear away because that was what I was dealing with, right? Is still a lot of fear because I was stepping out into the unknown and I felt like I was taking a big chance in even thinking about going to grad school. So when they were helping me with these different pieces, it's like, oh, here's the site that you need to go to. This is how much it's going to cost to apply. This is, you know, even showing me the plan of study and saying, look, these are the kind of classes that you'll be taking for the program. And then so taking me up and introducing me to people at the graduate school, it was very hands-on and very, it didn't feel like I was a piece of meat going through a processing plant. But they saw that I had this interest and they helped to do that. And so even so, the different pieces to the program that I was applying for, it did not require the GRE. It required a GPA. So they helped me make sure that I had that. It required an interview with the head of the program. And they even tried to, you know, make sure that I felt comfortable with that. And so I was, you know, kind of help me understand, you know, what he would be looking for in the interview process, so that I wouldn't feel so scared. Helped me to get my transcripts. It was very, very hands-on. It was like, if you really want to do this, we're here to support you. And I wanted to be like them, right? So when I talk about all four of these people who were supporting me, who had been through the program, they had a passion for connecting students with holistic learning and with experiences. And so they wanted to help me to be there. Now, they also talked to me about options, right? Grad school is not inexpensive. So how do I pay for a grad school? What does that look like? What if I don't go to grad school? What would I rationally be able to do with my degree in the humanities? And how could I market myself for things like that? So we did talk about all the different options. But I think by that time, I had figured out that I really wanted to stay in education because I wanted to be like these people, right? I wanted to provide that practical, holistic support to students that I felt like really helped me come out of my shell and to help me feel complete. So I think I'd pretty much by that time decided I wanted to remain in education for the rest of my life.
That's awesome. And it sounds like you had a really great experience going through the application process.
So, it wasn't scary.
Yeah. I hear that a lot from students when they're thinking about grad school. They're scared. They don't know what to do or what to expect. So it's really great that you had that support.
Yeah, I honestly don't know that I would have gone to grad school if I hadn't gone through to this place. I might have, but I think I would have taken a break.
Yeah, so you jumped right in from undergrad to grad school, right?
Yep. Yes, I actually was finishing up my last 6 credits for my undergraduate degree and started my first 1-credit intro program for my graduate degree the same summer.
That's a lot.
It was.
So kind of take me to that first day. What were your first expectations of grad school and what was that like?
Right. I don't think anybody prepares us for the difference in grad school, or at least in my program. So I went into grad school thinking that it was going to be more of the same that I did in undergrad. It was going to be papers, it was going to be exams, and it was going to be still very front of the classroom heavy. So what was the surprise to me was going into the program that I went to was they used the flip classroom concept. So we came into class and we were expected to bring our thoughts about the readings or the materials. And it was very collaborative and very cooperative. And I thrived with that program because I love learning from other people in a regular classroom setting. I appreciate lectures and presentations, but this really made me think about things. This made me feel like I was an actual participant in my learning rather than the learning being done unto me. And I feel it helped me because I grasped things better, but it was still daunting. For my orientation class, you feel like you have to prove yourself, or I felt like I had to prove myself. And so we had to write a paper. We had to do these different pieces and they made kind of a huge deal about it. It's like, we will let you know by the end of the class if you will be participating in the program. And I thought, I have to try. I have to prove myself. I have to try. It wasn't that at all. It was very warm. It was very supportive. But it almost felt like a proper transition. So I went in thinking I was going to do everything the way I had as an undergrad student. And I completed that class feeling like I was ready to truly enter my graduate program.
That's excellent. So what kind of classes did you take about in higher ed? What did you guys talk about?
That's a good question. The program allowed a lot of flexibility. So there are three branches for the adult education program. One was student personnel, and that was my track. One was E and lifelong learning. And then the other one was, training, so that you could do workshops. You could work for major companies and doing training. And the required classes talked about andragogy. How do adult learners learn? What's the difference between having a child in your classroom and having an adult? And how do you help motivate them to learn? How do you help them to find their passion? How do you help them to want to stay connected? So there was a huge influence on retention in that helping connect students with their desire. Why are they here? And how do you help them to become their whole self? I took classes in andragogy. I took classes in adult learning theory. That was my favorite class. It was wonderful. I took classes in structure, right? So what is the organizational structure of higher education? What is the history of that? How did it come about? How did we go from institutions that were simply spaces to learn to institutions that are dedicated to helping students thrive? Why do we have counseling centers on campus? Why do we have student engagement? Why do we have food pantries or other kind of resources like that? Why do we have fitness centers on campus? So learning the whole history and where do those kind of pieces come from, and what role do they fill for students on campus? How do they help students succeed? Does it help them to be better? Does it help them to be better students? So those kind of things. I took classes in leadership, communication, community, how to collaborate with community members, whether you're talking about other offices on campus or whether we're talking about the wider community, how to complete programs. So how do you evaluate whether the work that you're doing is meaningful to the students? How do you conduct a needs assessment? And then how do you see whether what you've provided hit that mark? They really tried to prepare us to offer. How am I trying to say this? So what they wanted to do was provide us with the ability to adequately measure the work that we were doing with our students. So whether that's qualitative or quantitative, how do we measure the effect of what we're trying to achieve and the success so that we are using our time and resources wisely to serve the students? There were a lot of really great classes. I feel like every class that I took helped me to build that. Took a class on teaching. How do I go into the classroom and engage students and help them to get the most out of it? How do I sell myself and market myself? How do I do a CV? How do I prepare for presentations if I am so honored to get an interview? It prepared me for every aspect of it, from getting a job in the first place to supporting the students once I got there, to how do I move up if I so desire to do that. So the classes were really helpful for that. Sorry, I'm going to take a drink real quick.
No, you're good. Whatever makes you most comfortable. So you're talking about these classes that are going towards like an end goal of how to get a job, how to interact with people, how to move up. But your goal coming in to grad school was just kind of to stay in school. So how did the goals that you had change, and how were they influenced by your program?
Oh, wow. It was in my program that I really discovered that this was my passion, right? When I started, I felt like, yeah, I think I'd really like to stay in higher education. But it was through the program that I realized that this is what I really wanted to do. And part of that was my classmates. Again, there may be kind of a recurring theme, is that my classmates have really inspired and supported and helped me. And in this, I had classmates who were working in every aspect of higher education. They were working in residence halls. They were working in transportation and parking. They were working in academic advisement. Where else? Career development. And then my professors were people who had been, or who currently were, vice president of academic affairs or vice president of student or dean of students kind of situations at different institutions. And so from my professors, we were getting the really high view. And then from my classmates, I was hearing how rewarding the work was and the difference that you make in changing lives in the program. And so the material that we were learning was really hearing what my classmates would say. We did a lot of group work. And I know most of us dread group projects, but these were the coolest group projects ever. So we were talking with our classmates in our own experiences and how to improve that or how to do something better. So I was learning from them what the day ins and day outs were, the really bad stuff to the celebratory stuff. And the kind of recurring theme with my classmates was, even in the bad days, they still got to go to work rather than had to go to work. So, you know, we did a skit one time and one of my classmates was working with transportation and parking services, which everybody on campus hates, right? They're the most hated people on campus because they're the ones who charge you so much money for your sticker and then give you tickets when you're in violation. And he was really talking about how much that hurt him to be that person, but also acknowledging how he's seen by other people and the goals that he had to try and change that to make the system better for students. And so seeing people synthesize, right? So they would take everything they were learning, take what reality was, you know, praxis. We talk about this all the time. So where does theory plus reality meet? And then how do you improve upon that? Or how do you know when to scrap something when it doesn't? So that kindled my passion to want to, firstly, be with these cool people, because they really were the really cool people. There were a lot of us who were failed psychology, you know, majors. We had wanted to be counselors and we'd wanted to be social workers, but also knew that we would take our work home. Well, higher education, you work so many hours that you get to take your work home and it's okay. But so being with these people and hearing their passion, and even if they weren't happy at the institution they were in, knowing that hearing that they still wanted to serve students, and they were people who really wanted to serve the community by helping to create engaged citizens who would leave the campus and do good things in their lives, or at least feel confident where they're going. And so I wanted to stay in school when I started, but I wanted to serve my community by the time I left. And I felt like this was the place and the method and the path that would allow me to best serve my community better.
That's awesome. And so you've talked a little bit about challenges that students have faced. We all know graduate school is not an easy thing. So
no.
What were kind of the challenges that you faced and how did you work through them?
Well, the shadowy they told me, if anything can happen, it will happen in grad school. Any major life challenge will likely happen in grad school. And that was true for me. I went through a divorce, a rough divorce during grad school. And there were some periods of time where I had to take a step back a little bit, right? And I also have chronic illness, and I can be guaranteed to get pneumonia at least once a semester, but I also have rheumatoid arthritis, and sometimes I'm living in a great deal of pain. And my classes at the time, they were all in person. I only took one that was a hybrid class. So I had to show up at least once a week. And so when I was taking classes, I was doing 9 credit hours. So our classes were at night. So there were some nights that I would be there until 10 o'clock at night. At the same time, in my second semester of grad school, I was offered a full-time position at a university. And so I was going through a divorce. I was learning a new job. I was commuting an hour both ways. And I was trying to do 9 credits in graduate school. It turned me into a better planner, organizer, and manager, even though I tend to be pretty retentive otherwise. It helped me to balance and appreciate these things, helped me to use my time wiser. It wasn't easy at all. I'm thankful for the program that I was in, because I think because my professors were people who'd worked in higher education for 30 years or so, they've seen a lot, they've done a lot, and they were the ones who encouraged me to start having, you know, a lot of grace with myself and give myself a break. One of my favorite classes, theory, adult learning theory, my professor was serving as assistant VP for student affairs at the time. And my favorite assignment that she would have us do every week, we would do an inbox assignment, which was a whole list of things that you would face as a higher education professional. Everything from your weekly report is overdue to you have a student with limited mobility who can't get into a building. And she would have us arrange by order how we would tackle these different things and then have us talk it out in class and explain it, which I think helped prepare me. But also at the end, it helped me to understand that the professors I was working with knew that we struggled and that we had challenges. And I was very thankful to develop with each and every one of my professors a really good enough relationship. So when things were bad, I could come to them and say, I don't think I can keep going. And I have one professor, and she still keeps track of me today, where I told her from the beginning, she was my teacher in orientation, and I said, I don't know that I'm smart enough to do grad school. And she says, of course you are. She was a returning student herself. She went back to school at 35 with 2 small kids as a single mom, and she would say, you can do this. And one semester I was supposed to present at a conference in Florida, and that is when I received the papers for my divorce, and for the beginning, and I had to stop everything, and I had to take incomplete from my class from her that semester, and she had so much grace with me that it was almost painful, because I wasn't used to life being like that. And so even though bad things were happening, and I don't know how I kept myself together during that time, but I can definitely say that my professors played such a huge role in it. But it wasn't me, just going through things too. I met somebody who I'm still very, very good friends with. Her grandfather was dying, and she was driving 2 hours to come to class every week, knowing that it was taking her away from being with him. And again, you know, we were able to be each other's support system, all of us in the class. You know, people were breaking up or having children, or, you know, family members were passing away. And this is before COVID. All of this is before COVID. And we were able to be there for each other. And we were almost like a little support group. But that helped us to understand what our students were going through. And that's something that our professors told us, is that what you're feeling right now, what you're going through right now, your students are going through. And they're trying to figure this out at 17, 18, 19 years old. And because it was grad school, you know, most of my classmates were at least in their, you know, they were around 22, 23, but most of them had come back. So I was with students in their 30s. And so we were all going through things and various, you know, challenges. And I think for my degree program, I don't know that it would be the same if I was a physicist or, you know, if I had continued in psychology. But all of those terrible things that made me feel like, you know, when I was driving home by myself and I would cry and cry and cry because, you know, I'm trying to figure out what's life going to look like if I get divorced. How am I going to make sure that I'm taking care of myself? Especially since I was just in an entry-level job, I couldn't take care of myself and my kid on that. But they understood. And so if I did have a bad time, if I just hit the wall, they would say, use that. You know, this is what your students are going through too. So I think for my program in particular, that's another reason why it was such a good fit, because it accepted and met me where I was and helped me to overcome that. So
it sounds like you went through a lot and you persevered through a lot. But you made it. You graduated.
I did.
So what were your first thoughts when you graduated?
Well, my graduation got put off, first because of COVID. My capstone project was very difficult. I was doing a research project over the needs of student and online classes. And when we had designed it in my research class the semester before, COVID had not been a thing. COVID started in March. I had started to design my research in February. But by that fall, obviously COVID had impacted everything. And so my interviews, we were still trying to figure out what did that look like, right? We were still trying to master Zoom. We were trying to figure out how to do these things. Well, out of my interview subjects, I lost two of them because they lost family members to COVID. So just even getting to that finish line was really, really difficult, required a lot of kind of adaptations and moving and figuring things out. And so that I had to ask for an extension for my research paper. And so that put me a little over. Rather than graduating that fall, I ended up graduating in the spring. And I've had friends who had been in master's programs who said, you're going to know when you're done. Because, you know, going back to that community college, I could have just sat there and done associate degrees one after the other. It was just, I loved learning. I enjoyed learning. I enjoyed that experience. And then went to finish my bachelor's, then went to finish my master's. And by that time, and I don't know if it was COVID or if it was just that it was kind of organically time to be done, I was done. I had thought about going for my doctoral program, like straight out of grad school, but I was exhausted. And so, unlike my undergrad though, I felt like I knew where I wanted to be and knew what I wanted to do. So the other piece to that was the semester or in the summer before my final semester of grad school, I was offered a promotion at my job. And it was a really intense promotion. So there was a lot more work and a bigger learning curve. So I think all of those things kind of played together to help me to say, you know what, I'm done now. For the time being, I have the piece that I've got education that I really, really wanted. I have the degree that makes me qualified to kind of move where I want to move. I can still move up one or two more steps in my career with the degree that I have. I don't need a doctoral program to become a director or even to become an associate VP. So I know that right now what I have will serve me well, and I'm tired. You know, I'm tired of going to class and balancing work because my work does require me a lot of late nights, a lot of outside work hours because I work with students who are at risk and I need to keep them on track. So going to class is not really something that I could do well with the current job that I have. But I also want to take a minute and dig more into it and do some presentations and maybe do some publishing a little bit with the experiences that I do have. But by the time I got to the end, it did feel like I could rest for a little bit before I went to the next step.
So you've graduated, you've been working at the university, working with at-risk students. What are your plans now? What are you just going to hang out for a while? What does that look like?
I'm trying to figure out what that means myself, right? I didn't realize how much my degree would mean to my students as well. So having them see that I was not just talking about completing college. I was showing them by example that, yeah, it gets hard, it gets tough, but it can be done, right? And no matter what age, no matter what your circumstances are. What now? I am thinking about a doctoral program to continue in education, but I'm weighing it off, right? I have really good friends that I can talk things through with this. And, you know, the two main tracks that I'm looking at right now are, do I pursue a second master's that would give me a little bit more, offer me more skills to continue in higher education, to maybe spread out a little bit, maybe adjunct teach or get a you know, side job or something like that? Or do I go on for my doctoral program? I'm looking at a few of them. And just like before, I'm looking at in-state for primarily for financial reasons. But most people in my position either look at an EDD, which is more designed for administration, or a PhD, which is a little bit more flexibility. I know that I'm not done with my education, and I do, for my own sake, want to go through my doctoral program. I feel like that is what I really want to do in life, is even if it is not for my career, but for me. Because from where I started, not thinking that I would even finish a semester, to finish with a master's degree, I want to prove it to myself that I can be Dr. Liz. So I'm looking at programs, but I also want a program that's going to continue to inspire me and help me to dig deeper into education. I want to, so where I work right now in diversity, equity, and inclusion, it's meaningful work, but I think that there can still be much more done. And so I want to use education to help me to find out how I can be a better advocate for my students, to be better support for my students. So in that, I'm going to be picky about what doctoral program I go into, because I want it to be something that's going to inspire me, challenge me, and help me to grow up to the next level. So I won't do it just for the sake of being Dr. Liz. I have to do something that's going to level me up some. The other master's would be nice because it's easy, right? And also I have employee benefits that will pay for up to 12 credit hours a year. That's very appealing because, you know, doctoral programs are not inexpensive. I would like to sit a little bit more time in my job, my current job, because it is a lot of work. And we know that education money is not, I don't have the resources that I need to do my job adequately. So it requires more of a personal investment. So my current plan, the way that I'm thinking about it is, you know, it's October 2021. I am planning on applying and seeing about being accepted by fall of 22 or fall of 23, but we'll see how that feels. I would like to spend another year in this job, really getting settled in, without, you know, hopefully any worsening from COVID, so that I can feel like I've really got this going and I've got the system mapped out, and then I can think about my doctoral program. But we will see. I'm definitely taking a break until May.
That's definitely understandable, and even courageous to say, hey, I need a break, and to go ahead and take that. So kind of summing up what we've talked about, you've talked a lot about how you've learned and grown through graduate school, and how are you applying that in both your personal life and in your career?
Again, I think it's funny in my life because I don't feel like there are coincidences. I don't feel like any of the classes or the programs that I've participated in from the time I came back to school, I feel like they've all been there to teach me things. And I think that this master's program, I learned the most from, right? So the classes that I took have helped me to understand. There's some theories that I can say, oh, yeah, this is definitely, you know, something that I am working through in my life right now. Because adult learning isn't just for the classroom. We learn in lots of different ways, in lots of different settings, right? So it doesn't just have to be in the classroom. So I think in that, what I learned from my professors is to show myself mercy and grace, which I really struggle with. And that applies in my personal life, which is to say, it's okay to fail forward. It's okay to make a mistake, or because all of that is just learning and growing. And so that is the greatest lesson that my program taught me, is that everything is growth, even when it doesn't go the way I want it to. And that's certainly for my life, right? So now that my divorce is finalized and I'm still living in a place of fear because I don't know what that looks like. You know, I have to figure out how to buy a house, how to qualify for buying a house. I had to get my first car and get it registered and things like that. And it makes me feel foolish because I'm 53 and I should know how to do these things. But in that, my program really helped me to say, it's all growing. We're all growing no matter what we're doing. So I keep those lessons close to me every day. There are things that, I try and really hard to remind myself. One of the classes we talked about neuroplasticity and how to train and retrain our brains. And so I'm trying to apply those lessons every day in my personal life as far as making sure I am getting enough rest. Because, you know, starting back to college a little bit later, I feel like I have to run faster than my classmates because I'm behind in my mind. But I have to kind of reframe those things. Professionally, I use what I've learned every single day, from needs assessments to program evaluations, adult learning theory for sure when we're talking about diverse student theories, because I work with Asian, Black, Hispanic, LGBTQ, and Native American students, you know, who are at risk of not completing college, their first generation college students. So I use all of that theory that I loved so much. The andragogy, you know, how do I reach them? You know, I learned that I can't motivate my students, but I can help them find their motivation. And that is incredibly powerful because, you know, I have students who want to come and sit in my office rather than going to class. And I'm like, come on, we got to go to class. I use it to, I'm getting ready to put on a major conference for about, you know, 400 of our closest friends. And so, how do I collaborate with community? How do I create a budget? How do I do all of these things? Everything that I do, whether it's personal or professional, those are things that I've learned from my classes. And even understanding how some of my campus partners are. So if I have to work with marketing, or I have to contact the police because we're having a major gathering, or, you know, or Title IX because one of my students is in trouble. Just even learning the basics of what all of these offices do and how they serve, how to play nicely with faculty, right? Because students will come into my office and say, Professor so-and-so can't stab me, and they're so mean to me, and they hate me, and they want me to die. And, you know, so understanding where they're coming from, all of these pieces, I could not do my job without the program that I was in. And You know, I am so thankful for it every day.
That's excellent. So what would you tell someone who's thinking about graduate school? What advice would you give them?
Talk to everybody first, you know, especially if you know what program. So explore the programs, right? Definitely look into it and talk to the folks. If you know somebody who's teaching in it, because it's similar to undergrad, talk to those professors. Talk to the graduate college. Talk to people who have been in the program or are in the program about what they like, what they don't like. Don't be afraid to hear things that you don't want to hear, that it's difficult or that it's expensive or whatever, and use those as, you know, kind of as your pieces that will help you to make the decision and as your challenges, right? So if grad school is expensive, because it is, how are you going to overcome that? How are you going to manage that? If it's rigorous, because grad school is, the thing is, I loved my program, but it demanded a lot of me. I was a 4.0 student, but it demanded a lot of me. Make sure that you are realistic about it too. A lot of students are pretty tired by the time they finish their undergraduate. It's okay to take a break. And I think I would tell them, if they're considering grad school, make a plan for it, right? So it's really easy to have it out there in the ether where it's like, yeah, I'm going to do that someday, but make a plan. Even I've done that with my doctoral program. I have a kind of a target date because I know I'm going to have to ask for letters of recommendation. I know I'm going to have to connect with folks at the college that I want to go to. And then kind of work backwards from there as far as making sure you're meeting those things. And if it doesn't feel good, if it doesn't feel right, trust your instincts and intuition and, you know, pull back a little bit. It's okay. You don't have to go to grad school right away. I know that part of the daily work that I do with my students is deciding next steps. Is grad school something you want to do? Is it something, you know, that is practical for you? Where is it going to take you? So asking questions is always the best start. Asking everybody, you know, and talking to your family, talking to your friends, and hearing why and why not. Because most of the time, knowing what you don't want or knowing what other people have chosen against is just as informative as knowing what you do want, right?
Yeah, definitely. Those are some great words of advice. Is there anything that you want to talk about that we haven't already discussed?
I think one thing that I think is really, really important, and it depends on the institution. A lot of college resources are not there for graduate students the way that they are for undergraduate students. A lot of colleges have graduate programs that are aimed to support working adults, right? So the classes may be in the evenings or they may be over the weekends. But at the same time, you can't get a bite to eat because everything's closed. You can't go check out a book, or you can't go buy a book if you have a supply that you need for your class because the bookstore is closed. You can't access counseling services. You can't sometimes even contact the bursar. So I think when we're talking about challenges that grad students face, that sometimes is one of the greatest challenges they face, is being able to connect with resources that their tuition dollars are paying for, that they can't take advantage of at all because they're working adults or their schedules are different, or because the only time they're on campus is around those times. We know that a lot of undergraduate students, even if they're commuter students, are on campus during the daytime and might have a lull between classes, so they can go seek counseling, or they can go check out the cafeteria and get something to eat, or they could go to the bookstore and get a book. And these are all resources that are largely denied to graduate students. And so while they are going through some of the incredible challenges that they're going through as grad students, they don't have those tuition paid resources that they can, that they could easily access. So it adds almost another hurdle or another step that many of them have to go through. I know among my classmates, a lot of us were dealing with emotions, whether it was, I can't say that we were all depressed, but we were all dealing with anxiety or stress or things like that. And it would have been great to have been able to say, hey, I could go to get some counseling around that time, but everything's closed, right? Or even things like printing can be difficult. Instead of being able to do something within our own building, we'd have to go across campus. And so I think for somebody who's considering graduate school, to understand that some of those easier, lower hanging fruit options, as far as resources, aren't going to be available. And so preparing for that and knowing that, maybe making some contingency plans, that if things happen, to be a little bit more aware of it than you would normally need to be. There's not a lot of last minute things you can do. As a grad student, you have to think ahead, which is another way to grow, but it can be also very, very frustrating. So kind of building in for some of that. Thank you for letting me say that.
Yeah, of course. And I definitely hear that. I know that that is an ongoing issue for graduate students.
It really is. And it's frustrating, right? So if your professor wants your paper to be printed out, and you don't have a printer at home, and you don't use yours at work because that's used for work, how do you stop by when your class starts at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the evening to get those kind of things done? Sometimes they don't think about that. Sometimes people in education think that they forget that they live in a bubble.
Definitely so. Well, thank you for letting me interview you today and for your advice and wisdom.
Thank you for giving me the chance to share and for kind of reflecting, having the opportunity to reflect on things. It's kind of exciting to see life grow, right?
It definitely is. You're most welcome.